patience and fortitude. And things will come your way.
Patience and fortitude. Patience and fortitude. Patience and fortitude. And things will come your way. When you have solitude.
Morning, Terrible Tommy here. Yeah, we're back. How about that? Hey, it's, what is it? The 11th? No. The 11th month, the 4th, wait a minute. What does that say? That can't be right. Oh, I guess it says 7. Okay, November 7th. Okay. Well, that's right. Tomorrow's the sucker day when a whole lot of people are going to run out there and blow their vote on the left and the right. And they'll both be wrong. There's so much corruption, I can't keep up with it. Both the left and right are sucking ass with Jewish Israel. I have no problem if Jews want to do what they want to do on their own, but when they live off us, 3 or 4 billion a year plus weapons and all that kind of stuff. I don't like that. But here we go. We got Donald Trump and David Duke and on the left, the others, Obama and his girlfriend, Hillary. They're all pro-Israel. They say it, you know, because if you're backing Donald Trump, he's backing Israel even more than the in the left wing. And so David Duke is backing him. So what does that make David Duke? So the left and the right both are going the same way on the Jews. Now the right wing has come out big time for the black race. Yeah, they're going on and on. Listen to Donald go on and on about what he wants to do for the black race, rebuilding the black community. Hadn't said nothing about rebuilding white working class community, not very much. In fact, I haven't heard the word white used too much in this campaign. So there we got the left side. We know they're big time. They're going to do everything for the blacks, which they rob them blind, of course. But the blacks are too ignorant to understand what's happening to them, at least most of them. And then, of course, on the right there with Donald Trump, he's saying all this stuff about he's going to rebuild and do everything and build schools for black people in the whole bit. I don't really see much difference in what he's saying and what Hillary's saying. She just does more hugging of the blacks. I don't see Donald hugging too many blacks. Yeah, that's what's going on here. And so if David Duke and the right wing, even the so-called extreme right wing, are following along with Trump, they're following along the same scenario as the left. They just say it in different words. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Oh, my God. No self-respecting white racial separatists should come anywhere near either of these guys. Any of them. Period. That's over. We're not in control. We're not even beginning to get any power. But trying to work with this system, it's over. You got to pray for the destruction of this system. Not try to put patch adhesive tape on it or duct tape or anything like that. It's got cancer to the bone, man. I'll tell you, you can't put a band-aids on bone cancer. And see, that's why I don't agree with the right or the left. They're both still playing fucking games. And I mean the right racial right, too. The right racial right. Just like they fucked around with Reagan, who was a phony and a war criminal and everything else. But no right winger, not many right wingers ever really studied what he was doing and what he was guilty of. So when these right wing racial leaders go on and on about, they're for Donald Trump or somebody like him. And don't listen to that Metzger, because he's just a negative old son of a bitch. But I'm a right old, and I don't mean right wing. I'm right, because I do my research. You want to know about it? You ask Tommy. I'll find it for you, whether it's international or national news. No, I'm not a genius, but I can read, and I can listen, and I can figure things out. I don't need a CNI dog. Like last election, if you think all those white people that voted against Obama are racist, well, that's the very thinnest veneer of racism. It's not racism. It's not real racial separatism. Because look how they came around, and millions of them voted for Obama, and even the ones who claimed to be against him ended up saying, "Well, I really like black people." Racial separatism, those guys are crazy right-wing guys, you know. And we got to get rid of this right-wing shit. I'm telling you. Got to get away from it. Anybody calls you a right-winger, slap them upside the head. And a Jewish left-winger, slap them up the side of the head, too. What we could have done a long time ago was taken part of the left that's very smart and good, and part of the right, which is smart and good, and put them together and made something new. But it's too late for that now. All the things that we should have done, it's too late. And, or we've tried to do them over and over, and they never worked. Nobody, you know, out here in Indiana, I might as well go out and fart in the breeze as talking to these people. They don't know shit from apple butter, but they think they know everything. So I don't even discuss it, politics, with them. I walked into the Republican Party headquarters Friday night. We had a street fair downtown. And you can just tell by talking to these are committed political types. You could tell by talking to them 5 minutes how screwed up and how uninformed they really were. You know, You'll say, did you read this? No, where'd you get that? You read that? Where'd you get that? Did you hear this? Where'd you get that? You ever listen to Russia TV? What's that? Oh, you communist or something? Well, let's see what's going on here. Several of the Senate's biggest hawks, that's war hawks, are receiving a crucial political lifeline from the country's most famous so-called libertarian billionaire brothers, Charles and David Koch. You know, the right wing doesn't talk much about those people. Some do, but not many. They talk about Soros, the Jew. Yeah, Soros the Jew. They're always on his ass, and he deserves it. But the big shot Republicans, they don't want to mess with David, Charles and David Koch. Senators John Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, and Marcos Rubio, I know him, Republican of Florida, are some of the loudest proponents on Capitol Hill of dragnet surveillance and torture, as well as expanding the military budget and the military's involvement in conflicts overseas. All three are in heated re-election campaigns. Throughout the campaign, especially in recent weeks, Koch money has flooded into the shore them up. You see, now these Koch brothers, they'll go along with a lot of these Republicans crying about the infrastructure of the United States. Well, our infrastructure is going up in smoke overseas. Trillions of dollars spent overseas in war. And these Republicans have the balls to talk about rebuilding the infrastructure of the United States. Jesus, when they come around to give a speech in your town, you should whop them upside the head. Johnson and Burr, as chairman of the committees that oversee domestic security issues, have led the fight to preserve and expand surveillance powers, and both face challengers with a strong record in promoting privacy. Rubio spent much of his failed presidential campaign attempting to push the envelope on national security issues. Yeah, we need more weapons, more atomic bombs, more missiles. God damn, we don't have enough. Demanding incredibly that the defense budget should be expanded by $1 trillion over 10 years. Now we're giving him $1 trillion now. He wants $2 trillion. Well, only if you can borrow it from the Chinese. And if I was the Chinese, I'd tell you go plumb straight to hell, because they're sure as hell a lot smarter than anybody I know in Washington. The Koch brothers' campaign cash included $950,000 in the final week of the campaign to support Johnson, undercuts the undeserved image the industrialists have nurtured as principal supporters of personal freedom. Yeah. The Koch brothers are widely depicted by the press as high-minded civil libertarians who are simply interested in reducing the size and scope of government. Libertarians? Anybody can call a goddamn billionaire a libertarian has got to be out of their mind. Numerous hagiology graphic books, articles, and media outlets attest to the Koch libertarian bona fides, and the brothers maintain a sophisticated public relations apparatus to perpetuate their libertarian brand. I hear them advertising here in the Midwest on the radio. Oh, we employ all these people. Of course, you're in a right-to-work cheap state. We control that. Freedom Partners, the Koch group, oversees the network of political spending, did not respond to the request for comment. Well, hell no. Both brothers engaged in libertarian activism in the 70s and early 80s, but as Koch Industries, the sprawling conglomerate they inherited from their daddy, who had a cozy deal with Stalin, continued to rapidly grow, the brothers shifted their political engagement to support a fairly traditional traditional, whatever that is, GOP agenda. In other words, screwing the working man. In line with their business interests, the firm is rooted in fossil fuel operations, but has subsidiaries involved in business as varied as paper towel manufacturing and oil derivative trading, and is now the second largest privately held company in the United States. Wow. Real libertarians. Despite the rhetoric around the civil libertarian causes, the Koch network is largely devoted to policies that allow Koch subsidiaries to pollute and extract fossil fuels with minimal consequence while reducing the billionaire brothers' tax bill. And what makes the brothers' $750 million political network fairly unique is the fact that the officials from Koch Industries lobbying subsidiaries, a firm called Koch Company Public Sector, play a central role in managing much of the Koch Foundation's academic outreach and super PAC spending. As Koch lobbyists work the halls of Congress, you know, Soros is working one side of that hall in Congress and the Koch brothers are working the other. These guys don't have a chance. These politicians, they just can't give up on all that money. Pushing for exemptions and delays on clean water and water regulations. Yeah, Trump now has jumped on the bandwagon. Let's strip mine. Let's do all that kind of shit that's destroying the earth. Oh, yeah. And, of course, people who need jobs are going to jump on that. It's a real problem. Koch-funded third-party groups appear on television and on the campaign trail to encourage the public to make the same demands. The Koch's fight to keep the Senate in Republican hands has brought the brothers in line with the politicians who have built a track record of expanding intrusion government power. Oh, I thought the Republicans wanted to limit power and cut the power to government down. From the ability to snoop on everyday American communications to unwavering support of the U.S.-backed bombing campaign that's killed thousands of civilians in Yemen. Yeah, our cat's paw, Saudi Arabia, one of the most rotten regimes in the world, one of the most violent. I mean, seems like this government wants to climb in bed with every rotten apple there is. You can't get too rotten for this government to jump in bed with. And of course, Saudi Arabia is causing most of the problem over there behind the scenes. And we're shipping them all kinds of arms every day, every week, more arms, more arms, more arms. And blowing off more arms, more arms, more arms. Using a playbook that has come to dominate congressional elections, the Kochs are helping Senate Republicans using a super PAC and a variety of non-profit advocacy groups they control and fund. Freedom Partners Action Fund has spent over $29 million, and another Koch-controlled group, Americans for Prosperity, has spent more than $12 million in this cycle. Well, that's the same group that came to Warsaw, my little town here, in a great big 50-foot beautiful bus, all painted up with that sign on it. And when I cornered the driver or whoever was in charge, I said, "Isn't this a Koch brother operation?" Who? The Koch brother operation, the billionaires that are bankrolling this shit. Oh, I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. And, of course, all the boobs were out there on the courthouse lawn eating it up, all that mom, motherhood, and apple pie, wave the flag, all that kind of stuff. They didn't know shit or shinola about the Koch brothers. Some of them started arguing with me, and they didn't know anything about what they were talking about. Those figures are likely just the tip of the iceberg, however, because the Cox also fund local think tanks and various election advocacy efforts that do not fall within the scope of the Federal Elections Commission reporting. The Cox Network, for instance, has reportedly set up 16 field offices and 160 paid get-out-the-vote staffers using three different nonprofit groups in Florida alone. That's in addition to two local Sunshine State think tanks and a newly created Latino advocacy group set up to help the candidates like Rubio. And, of course, that's one of the reason they wanted these damn Mexicans in here in the first place, not only for the cheap labor, but they'll turn them into politicians. Don't make any difference which party. They're going to get in there, just like the blacks now. They finally got it smartened up and ran as conservatives. And I was looking on the Internet last night, and they had all the different stars in Hollywood and how they're going to vote. Hell, half of them were voting for Trump. Some of the sleaziest stars in Hollywood. And at least half of the blacks stars and sports people were voting for Trump. Now, you know something's fucked up when that happens. You know it. When all those assholes vote for some guy you think's the right guy, you better get in trouble. Get out of trouble. Get out of there. In Wisconsin, Johnson fares formerly with Senator Russ Feingold, an opponent of the Iraq War, who was also only lawmaker in the Senate to vote against the USA Patriot Act. Well, I like that. I don't know whether he's a Jew or not, but if he's a Jew, he did a damn good job. Well, let's see here. And in stark contrast to Feingold, Patriot Act. Okay, Johnson, as current chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. Do you feel secure in the homeland? I don't feel secure at all. And in stark contrast to Feingold, has called for the expansion of cyber surveillance laws and the full renewal of the Patriot Act, dismissing critics of dragnet spying powers. Well, they have to do that because this shit's going to blow sky high sooner or later. They know that. They've been preparing for it for a long time. So, actually, they're smart in doing that because when it blows, it blows. In North Carolina, Burr faces Deborah Ross, a former state official for the American Civil Liberties Union. They're corrupt, too. That matchup provides a stark contrast on civil liberties issue. Burr, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, worked aggressively to bury the Senate investigation of the Bush administration's torture program. Hell, we torture. Of course we torture. All countries torture. But I think mainly we taught them how to torture best, scientifically. Burr called the torture techniques, which included sexual abuse and rectal feeding, oh, God, an effective means of gathering intelligence, unquote. You wonder why we're hated around the world? Do you wonder why this country is hated? Well, read what we do. I know that most people don't give a shit. They don't really get the real whole news or anything else. But they don't give a shit. As long as we get our oil and our gasoline in our car and some good booze, what do we give a fuck about whether they're rectally feeding somebody to torture them? Well, whatever happens over there, I'm going to warn you and going to guarantee you it will come here. As a bipartisan coalition has worked to provide oversight over the National Security Agency mass surveillance programs, you can surveil me all you want. I'm so way down on the totem pole and economically and everything else. You're going to have a hell of a time finding something bad about me, other than I hate your goddamn guts, politicians. Burr led the effort not only to prevent reform, but to expand NSA powers. He wants more snooping. The flood of cash and political resources to the Senate's hawks is nothing new for the Koch brothers. They don't give a shit how many people get killed and cluster bombed and how many kids and everything. Their political network also provides major funding for anti-homosexual politicians and advocacy organizations. Well, that anti-homosexual politician is just a dodge. They just do that to keep their Christian right in line, mostly. Because most people nowadays, you know, they may not like to be around homosexuals, or they don't necessarily like them to take over, but it's not something that's on the mind of every person walking down the street either. In some Beltway circles, the Koch support of the Cato Institute, a prominent libertarian institution known for advocacy against spying and endless war, has established their status as principal libertarians. But history is more complex. Charles Koch founded the Cato Institute. Now, that's a real super right-wing industrialist capitalist outfit. First naming the group the Charles Koch Foundation. A bitter feud over control riled the organization, and in 2012, Koch attempted a hostile takeover, trying to appoint neoconservative advocates, whoever that is, and Koch Industries' own lobbying team to the board. It failed. Amazing. The Koch Network now funds groups that widely advocate for radical expansion of government when it comes to war. Well, don't they always? Law enforcement and restricting reproductive health, including the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute, two far-right institutions that stand in diametric opposition to Cato on the issues of military expansion and human rights. Well, I don't want to stop blacks from having abortions. I don't know about you or Mexicans or Asians or anybody else. I would encourage whites not to do it, but if they don't give a shit about their kids, you can't make them give a shit about their kids. Just think about that. And that's the end of my little spiel here on the Koch brothers. And if you want to remember who they are, just imagine a big cock sticking up in the air in front of your house. It'll be easy to remember who the Koch brothers are. Yeah. Well, here we go. A top facial recognition company is partnering with a private intelligence firm that tracks, quote, terrorists, unquote, to create an internet-based tool to scan and identify, quote, terrorists, unquote, faces for law enforcement, military, and intelligence agencies. Now, you know that anything that comes up that's supposed to be good is always fucked up by the bad. And so if you think you can trust people to do this kind of stuff, you're out of your mind. You'll end up in an underground operation someday, knocking those things out. Hopefully. According to a late October, you see, I'm not as afraid of some of these wetbacks coming in and blacks in the ghetto as I am of these sons of bitches in Washington. They're going to kill more white people, and they always have killed more white people than any of these other groups. You know, look at World War I, World War II, and the Civil War. Who was the big loser in that? White people. According to a late October email obtained by The Intercept, sent by Ben Wozinski, the CEO of Intel Center, the new tool would combine his company's pre-existing terrorist data, which can mean about anybody, with facial recognition algorithms developed by Morpho, which specializes in biometric technology. See, we don't know who these people are. We don't know who's running them or anything, but they're in charge of your spying on you and deciding whether you're a terrorist. Jesus. Morpho, which does not disclose its proprietary algorithms to identify faces, has also partnered with the FBI in the past to develop its facial recognition programs. Yeah, the kind that they can put in any police car. And if you're on the list, they can come up behind you and see who you are without even reading your license plate. Well, the machinery would read the license plate. Or they'll have a deal where they can theorize who's riding in the car, whether it's your car or not. This new tool would combine not only the facial recognition technology, but also the database of faces, or terrorist data, like Mazinski describes it. So I'm telling you, boys and girls, you better be studying about all this kind of stuff and preparing to fight it off or destroy it, and quit worrying about Donald Trump and Hillary. That's all a preordained thing, you know. Don't worry about that shit. Don't worry about the right-wing racial groups, and don't worry about the left-wing racial groups. Think about this kind of stuff. This is what's more important than anything for any future survival. Intel Center was founded by Ben Mazinski. I don't have any idea where he came from, who was just 16 when he got into the terrorist tracking business, according to a 2008 profile in a German magazine, Der Spiegel. The company, which works for government clients, tracks online messages, videos, social media, hostage crisis, and information disseminated by terror groups and supporters. I love it. It's always a terrorist group. It's always, no matter who it is, a terrorist group. There may not be a big terrorist group. They're a little terrorist group, or maybe a middle-sized terror group, but they're all terror groups. The KKK is a terrorist group, even though they could have their national meeting in a phone booth. And they go right along with the Republican crazies at election time. They're all out there pushing Donald Trump. I know he loves that. The new tool, 4 years in the making, is designated so that searching for the face of a terrorist is as easy as running a Google search, unquote. Vinsky wrote, anyone from a local beat cop with a shoestring budget to the more sophisticated state or FBI investigator would have access to the inexpensive, quick, and easy tool. He continues, well, that's what we're going to have to get a hold of, because you know what your local cops will do with that. Suddenly they'll become big local cops. They'll know everything going on in the whole neighborhood, no matter how legal it is. According to Vinsinki, who was writing to Intel's forum, an intelligence email litserv founded in 2000, this new tool is restricted to military, intelligence, and law enforcement agencies of qualifying countries. He didn't say which countries might be excluded. Well, for sure it won't be Israel, because we know that Israel has access to all your IRS files. You didn't know that? There's an agreement between the United States government and Israel a long time ago that they could have access to your IRS files. Oh, shit. In an earlier email from June discussing the same technology, Vinsinki said the product has various counterterrorism use cases that previously would have been impossible because they would have been illegal. That's Tommy. Without his combination of facial recognition technology and the terrorist data. Well, I guess those kits that David Duke was peddling over in Europe for plastic surgery will come in handy. We're all going to have to buy one from David Duke. We all got to become plastic, man, to stay out of this stuff. The U.S. military has a long history of using biometric technology, fingerprint scanners, and cameras to identify militants overseas. Militants overseas? Since when is a militant illegal? I imagine a militant could be illegal, but then you'd probably call him a terrorist. So, what's a militant? somebody who doesn't like your politics, or somebody who's got a political party you don't agree with. That's what that is. There's an entire Navy unit, the Defense Forensics and Biometric Agency, devoted to the work. A soldier in Afghanistan developed one of the first mobile biometric devices. Thank you, buddy. The handheld interagency identity detection equipment, which resembles a chunky Nikon without the protracted lens. It alerts personnel to matches on a watch list based on iris scans, fingerprints, and camera images, and is reportedly capable of storing tens of thousands of biometric profiles. Well, welcome to the brave new world, boys and girls. This is what we're coming into. And they're using it to say, well, we're looking at these people over there, little terrorists, and we want to develop all this to watch out for those terrorists in the United States, especially those racial terrorists. People that might go down and burn a black church. By the way, have you seen any news on who they've caught for doing that? That black church down in Mississippi? If they don't catch anybody, it's because it was an FBI setup in the beginning. Or if they catch somebody and they were put up to it by the FBI. But mostly, if they don't catch somebody pretty soon, I'm going to declare it an FBI operation. Or a preacher that ran out of gambling money and pussy money, and he's set fire to the church to collect the insurance. They've done it all a long time, blacks. Biometric tools developed for the military have started surfacing in state and local law enforcement precincts. Hey, now we're getting there. Now we're separating the men from the boys. Now we're separating the working class from the establishment. That's probably a good thing, because they'll overstep. They'll always overuse and misuse this stuff. And the piss, it'll drive a certain segment amount of people across the line, and they'll start blowing the shit out of things. That's what I would imagine might happen. The FBI's database of faces is so bloated that half of all adults in the U.S. are kept there. That's what makes it really inoperative, because if they put too many people on there, it don't work out too well. It causes confusion into cops, and they're not that hard to confuse. African Americans, or otherwise known as niggers, are even more likely to be in the database, according to research conducted by the Georgetown Center on Privacy and Technology, October, which is a waste of time. Blacks are involved in shooting at each other. Blacks are not really into terrorism. I mean, they're into, if you want to call terrorism, they're terrorizing their own people in their own community and taking shots at the cops now and then. Well, that's one thing. But having all these blacks around the country in the ghetto, in the database, what a waste of money that is. No, they don't watch the right people. Let me draw up a list of the right people to spy on. Mostly it'll be the people who developed the program. Privacy advocates are now raising questions. There's no privacy. When they talk about privacy, there's none left. Forget it. Privacy went down the tube a long time ago. Privacy advocates are now raising questions about the involvement of private companies in developing the algorithms that compiled the database of faces. If Intel Center itself is providing the data to state the local law enforcement agencies, and it includes Americans, quote, that seems like a due process issue. If they are enrolling someone in a terrorist watch list, unquote, said Claire Garvey, law fellow of Georgetown Center on Privacy and Technology, in an interview with The Intercept. As a private company, they'll be exempt from records laws, of course, information about who's in the database and how they got it. Pretty soon we're all going to have to wear those masks that they were wearing over in England in a couple of movies. That fellow that blew up the Parliament over there back in, what, the 1700s? I forget his name, but we all have to go around with those in the car, on the bicycle, and a motorcycle, everywhere we go. The minute we see any law enforcement, even in the air, we put on that mask. Yeah. Garvey expressed the concern that the tool might exacerbate racial profiling if it's used by every cop in the street. Well, most of the racial profiling, I think, is working on white people nowadays. Quote, would state and local officers be more inclined to stop someone who looks like a Middle Easterner male if they have an app on their phones that compares it to a list of terrorists? She said. That would raise some huge red flags for me. Of course you'd be interested. But most of these people simply want to get a job at the taco stand. 99% of all these people running around are not interested in terrorist activity. But you guys couldn't catch the ones who really are with a flashlight and a searchlight and whatever. You couldn't stop the Saudi Arabians, our allies, who you obviously knew were into some shit that blew up the trade centers. You couldn't catch them, even though you had one of their computers right in your hands up in Michigan. And after you knew that there were FBI informants in an apartment building not 50 miles from me in California, where these two of the guys that were on the airliners that bumped into the trade buildings were right there in San Diego. I could have drove down and shot them in the head. Why didn't they tell me? Saved a lot of lives. It's unclear whether the database would be made up of publicly identified serious criminals or terrorists. You get that black guy, he uses a lot of weed, sometimes cocaine. Get him. Like I should care. Do you care? Do you really? I don't care how many blacks want to smoke pot or take cocaine. As far as that's concerned, anybody else, I don't recommend doing it. But I don't care whether other people do it if they're so foolish to do it, or whether it would be based on a broader watch list. Venzicki doesn't offer details about its database except to point potential clients in the intelligence, military, and law enforcement spheres. But Intel Center is already collecting faces. Ooh, you've seen them in your neighborhood? They just go down the street taking pictures of you. Users can sign up for a free trial. Wow! On Intel Center's website, which includes access to new facial components. From there, an example, users can run a facial search for people like ISIS members, Mohammed Turkawawali, who is likely based out of Syria and probably roaming down the streets of Chicago. Yeah, you can do that, but you got to have a license to do it. Just like you have to have a license to murder, but people murder all the time as long as they've got approval from the government. The government is mass killers, but they've got a hunting permit. You don't. Someday you're going to have to go hunting, but you won't get a permit from these guys, I'll guarantee you that. The photo provided is poorly lit, obscured by his hat and facial hair. You mean there's ways to defeat this stuff? Venzicki of the Intel Center of Morpho, the facial recognition company, did not respond to a request for comment about the new product or potential customers. Yet the idea of combining a private database with facial recognition could prove problematic. Government watch lists such as the no-fly list are already heavily criticized because these databases inevitably include errors and don't easily offer people the chance to challenge their inclusion. You see, boys and girls, just like when we had a meeting between the right and the left, so-called right and the left in Los Angeles, about 30 years ago, I guess, Willis Carto and I was in on it, and several people who are now passed away were involved in that during the Vietnam War. We had a mock war crimes trial in downtown Los Angeles, and we tried all these high muckety mucks, including the attorney general, all of them for war crimes, and found them guilty. And like the guy who was on the left winger was sitting, or at least he identified himself as a left winger, next to me, and he said, "Tom, you know, the problem is not who's on the right and who's on the left. The problem is simply who's on top and who's on the bottom." And I never forgot that, because he's right. It's not sure, we have racial differences with people, but the big problem is who's on the top and who's on the bottom. And if both parties control both situations, well, you're screwed. You are screwed. I'm screwed. Everybody's screwed. The Government Accountability Office also criticized the FBI in May for failing to protect privacy. The Bureau's facial recognition system, which was using Morpho's algorithms, was only accurate 86% of the time. So you get drugged off to the gulag and you're not even the guy they're looking for. That means that out of every 100 faces, 14 innocent people would be inaccurately identified, prosecuted, and shoved into prison or executed. Facial recognition mismatching has led to at least one false allegation in the case of Steve Talley, who was mistakenly identified as a bank robber, partly thanks to grainy surveillance records and a seemingly similar head shape and jawline. Wow, man. The technology is also limited in many cases, depending on how many faces are in the database and how the photos were taken, whether they were picked out of videos with poor lighting versus clearer driver's license images. It can be difficult to correctly identify specific features like nose length or distance between the eyes. This reminds me how I got all hot to run lie detector systems. I bought me a nice lie detector system, and it began to become obvious to me over a period of time that it was bullshit and that too many innocent people would be found guilty. So I put it up on the shelf, and it's still sitting there after decades have gone by. I won't use it. I can find out more about a person in the court records, both criminal and anywhere else, marriage records and stuff like that, divorce records. You can find out more about people that way, where they're getting their money. The smaller database is, the more accurate it will be, Garvey noted. That's like with a lie detector. The smaller the amount of questions you ask, the more likely you are to get a correct decision. If the technology is used on a very small segment of known serious criminals, whatever that is, obviously white races, this could be pretty positive application of racial recognition. James Whalen, who worked on the biometric technology at San Jose State University, told an audience at the RAND Corporation, mark those people up on the wall, that facial recognition could be a vital tool in identifying terrorists and serious criminals, but it can fail even with small databases of faces to identify. But the work is progressing. Some scientists like Anil Jain, what the hell name is that? N-I-A-N-I-L. More and more, all our sophisticated people in universities are people that are offshore or non-whites and so forth. At Michigan State, are working to improve the accuracy of facial recognition techniques. Yeah, we're even importing professors to make it better. Even when police only have an obscure, rotated, or distorted face to work with, his lab received funding from the FBI to improve techniques for identifying faces from grainy surveillance videos. But you can't figure a way of convicting Hillary Clinton. You can find faces in the crowd, man, like Andy Griffith's movie. But you cannot find a out-and-out crooked bitch right in front of you. Jane says facial recognition software, depending on the quality of the images, can produce both false positives and false negatives. One should regard the output of face recognition as providing an investigative lead. Well, that's what a lie detector is supposed to do. A lie detector should have been promoted as a lie detector. It's just an investigative lead to lead you to something more damaging, more evidence. Rather than gospel, he wrote in an email to The Intercept. Either way, facial recognition is here to stay. It's going to get worse. It is not feasible for forensic examiners to manually search millions of faces in a government database to find the person of interest in a timely fashion, Jane wrote. Well, I would say it's easier to assume that 99% of the people are innocent than try to find 99% of the people guilty. Doesn't that make sense to you? I think it does.
I need this, how to find all of it out for myself. And there are still, as with you probably, a lot of things that you're expected to believe and accept in America that I personally have a problem with, and I question a lot of these things. Give you an example. I saw a slogan on the guy's car. It said, "Proud to be an American." And I thought, well, what the fuck does that mean? Proud to be an American. You see, I've never understood national pride. I've never understood ethnic pride. Because I'm Irish, and I'm all four of my grandparents were born in Ireland, so I'm fully Irish. And when I was a kid, I would go to the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And I noticed that they sold a button that said, "Proud to be Irish." And I could never understand that, because I knew that on Columbus Day, they sold a different button that said, "Proud to be Italian." Then came Black Pride and Puerto Rican Pride. And I could never understand ethnic or national pride. Because to me, pride should be reserved for something you achieve or attain on your own, not something that happens by accident of birth. Being Irish... Being Irish isn't a skill. It's a fucking genetic accident. You wouldn't say, "I'm proud to be 5'11". I'm proud to have a predisposition for colon cancer. So why the fuck would you be proud to be Irish or proud to be Italian or American or anything? Hey, if you're happy with it, that's fine. Do that. Put that on your car. Happy to be an American. Be happy. Don't be proud. Too much pride as it is. Pride goeth before a fall. Never forget Proverbs, okay? Now, and no one learns to question things. You remember? Like I say, no one questions things. You remember Barbara Bush? I call her the silver douchebag. You remember her? Barbara Bush. She is the mother of Governor George Bush. I call him Governor Bush because that's the only elected office he ever held legally in our country. Okay? George Bush, Governor Bush. I don't care where they hang his portrait. I don't care how big his library is. He'll always be Governor Bush. I don't even capitalize his name when I type it anymore. So she's the mother of Governor George Bush. She's also the wife of his father, George H.W. Bush, who did become president in the normal, legal, traditional manner. And when he did, she came along for the ride as first lady. And that's been the tradition up till now. A man has been elected, and the woman has come along for the ride as the first lady. And usually, as in American life in general, the woman is condescended to, patronized, given something to do to keep her busy. A lot of times they give her a charity or a cause, something she can champion. Betty Ford was told to drink. Remember that? You remember that? That's right. Betty Ford was told, "You drink, Betty. Betty, you drink and get really fucked up, okay? Just get totally fallen down, fucked up, drunk, shit-faced, and blow your liver out. Blow your fucking liver out, honey. Then we'll hose you down and we'll put you in a place and get you well there and put your name on the place and Liza Minnelli can get well and everything's going to be all right." So, that was her assignment. That was her assignment. Barbara Bush's assignment was getting children to read. Remember that? Getting children to read. They figured she had had so much success with George. Here's one more item for you, the last in our civics book. Rights. Boy, everyone in this country's always running around yammering about their fucking rights. I have a right. You have no right. We have a right. They don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun, but there's no such thing as rights, okay? They're imaginary. We made them up, like the boogeyman. The three little pigs, Pinocchio, Mother Goose, shit like that. Rights are an idea. They're just imaginary. They're a cute idea. Cute. But that's all. Cute and fictional. But if you think you do have rights, let me ask you this. Where do they come from? People say, well, they come from God. They're God-given rights. Oh, fuck, here we go again. Here we go again. The God excuse, the last refuge of a man with no answers and no argument, it came from God. Anything we can't describe must have come from God. Personally, folks, I believe that if your rights came from God, he would have given you the right to some food every day, and he would have given you the right to a roof over your head. God would have been looking out for you. God would have been looking out for you. You know that? He wouldn't have been worried about making sure you have a gun so you could get drunk on Sunday night and kill your girlfriend's parents. But let's say it's true. Let's say God gave us these rights. Why would he give us a certain number of rights? The Bill of Rights of this country has 10 stipulations, okay? 10 rights. And apparently God was doing sloppy work that week because we've had to amend the Bill of Rights an additional 17 times. So God forgot a couple of things, like slavery. Just fucking slipped his mind. But let's say God gave us the original 10. He gave the British 13. The British Bill of Rights has 13 stipulations. The Germans have 29. The Belgians have 25. The Swedish have only 6. And some people in the world have no rights at all. What kind of a fucking goddamn God-given deal is that? No rights at all? Why would God give different people in different countries different numbers of different rights? Boredom? Amusement? Bad arithmetic? Do we find out at long last, after all this time, that God is weak in math skills? Doesn't sound like divine planning to me. Sounds more like human planning. Sounds more like one group trying to control another group. In other words, business as usual in America. Now, if you think you do have rights, one last assignment for you. Next time you're at the computer, get on the internet, go to Wikipedia. When you get to Wikipedia, in the search field for Wikipedia, I want you to type in Japanese Americans 1942, and you'll find out all about your precious fucking rights, okay? All right. You know about it. You know about it. In 1942, there were 110,000 Japanese-American citizens in good standing, law-abiding people who were thrown into internment camps simply because their parents were born in the wrong country. That's all they did wrong. They had no right to a lawyer, no right to a fair trial, no right to a jury of their peers, no right to due process of any kind. The only right they had, right this way, into the internment camps. Just when these American citizens needed their rights the most, their government took them away. And rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. You see how soon it is? Yeah, sooner or later the people in this country are going to realize the government does not give a fuck about them. Government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a fuck about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing, keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. Personally, when it comes to rights, I think one of two things is true. I think either we have unlimited rights or we have no rights at all. Personally, I lean toward unlimited rights. I feel, for instance, I have the right to do anything I please. You have the right to kill me. So where are you going to find a fairer fucking deal than that? So the next time some asshole says, gee, I have a right to my opinion, you say, oh, yeah, well, I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is you have no right to your opinion. Then shoot the fuck and walk away. Thank you.